Okay, we're holding Kahala from a base, five lines from the bottom. Tananabanan, the Emperor says, although Gimel Yom HaRishayim, the oval during the first 3 days of Avelos, again here we have one of those cases where there's a difference between the first 3 days and afterwards, Bami Makam Karev, if the oval comes from a nearby place. So we have, you know, a number of the members of the family are already sitting Shiva. He was someplace nearby, but he didn't get to the Shiva house yet. Tosfos says Makam Karev, of course, Halach Gdolos, that it means within 10 parsa, because 10 parsa, we learned back in Tzachim, is the amount that an average person could walk in an average length day. So if he comes from a Makam Karev, then he counts along with them. So even, in other words, let's say, for example, the beginning of Shiva was, let's say, on a Wednesday. He shows up on Thursday. He doesn't have to start 7 days counting from Thursday and then get up on Wednesday. He can consider the first day was already Wednesday, and he'll get up together with all the rest of them on Tuesday.
Because they
already started. And he was in Makam Karev, he was in a nearby place. But if he came from a faraway place, from further out than 10 parsa, then he has to count his own count. So he has to start his own. He has to start his own shiva from when he gets there. Poets can talk about. Are we talking about that he knew beforehand of the mitzvah and just he only managed to get there now, or is it talking about that he came to town and all of a sudden found out? Mikan ve'elach, after the 3 days, even if he came from a nearby place, Moinul Asma, he still has to count his own, because after 3 days already he can't be nigra after them. He can't be considered to be following them. Rav Shimon Omer, no. Afilu Baba Yom HaShvim in Makom Karev. Even if he comes on the seventh day, on the last day of Shiva, and he's in a nearby, and he was from a nearby place, Moinimah, and he can still count with them. So in that case, effectively, in other words, he'll have 1 day, or probably half a day, or wherever. Well, small part of a day, yeah. So Gimel Yom HaShvim Baba Makom Karev Moinimah. So we said that during the first 3 days, if he comes from a Makom Karev, then he counts Shiva along with them. This is only if there's the elder of the house in the house. Which means, Rashi, so Rashi says what it means like this. In other words, this one who came, this let's say, for example, you have a bunch of brothers who are sitting shiva after their father, let's say. This brother who came, let's say, is one of the younger brothers. So the older brother is already there along with all the other brothers sitting shiva, and the younger brother shows up a couple of days into shiva. That's when we're saying that he can continue counting with them. He doesn't have to sit his own shiva.
When the older brother has been there before.
Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says this business about Gadol HaBayis is rather the point is that if the one who came is himself the Gadol HaBayis, if he himself is the eldest brother, then no, he's going to have to count his own anyway. You can't say that an older brother goes after his younger brothers, let's say.
Right, but can the younger brothers start without him? Yes.
Well, if he's not there, then they have to. But the point is that he'll still have to start his own count because he can't be considered to be subservient to them. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that the thing is that rather if you have the Gadol HaBayis over there, that's when we have this dispensation that the another brother, so you know, Reuben, for example, the oldest brother, is there already, and therefore Shimon, one of the younger brothers, when he shows up, can start counting from according to Reuben. Whereas if the Gadol HaBayis was not there, then let's say, for example, only Levi was there. Then Shimon himself, even though he himself is not the Gadol HaBayis. Again, according to Rashi, this that we're saying whether he could or not is only Reuven himself. According to Tosfos, it would be, let's say, for example, so Levi, the third brother, is there. But still, Shimon can't follow Levi because there's no Gadol HaBayis there left to set the tone for the whole thing. So therefore, he'll have to count his own. And Shulchan Aruch talks about that there's a couple of other criteria you need to determine whether you start shiva, whether you do your own shiva, or whether you just go based on the people who are already there. So now they have the question: Holach Gadol HaBayis LeBeis HaKvaris Mahu. What is the din? We're talking about like this: if the Gadol HaBayis, again according to Rashi, the Gadol HaBayis is first showing up now, or according to Tosfos, whether the Gadol HaBayis is there or not, whether the other brothers can be considered to follow what's already going on in the shiva house. But what if this Gadol HaBayis is not there because he went to the cemetery? Meaning, in other words, what happened? In other words, somebody has to go with the mess to bury him. The one who went, let's say, was the Gadol HaBayis, was the eldest brother. The cemetery is some distance away. It took him 3 days to get back, let's say, but he only gets back on the third or fourth day of Shiva. Then the question is, Mahu, then what do we say? Do we consider as if he was at home? Because after all, he went for the purpose of the Kavura. Well, not so much he was there at the beginning, but in other words, the point is he went for the purpose of the burial. He never sat Shiva along with them, but because he was busy with the burial, so maybe we should consider that he was already at home. He would have begun the Shiva with them if he was there. Therefore, we'll allow him to continue with that.
Right.
Or maybe not. Or maybe not. The fact is he wasn't there. And of course, it's similarly the issue is, are we saying, can the other brothers, if the Gadol HaBayis is not there, can we say the other brothers can still follow him as if he was there or not?
Because he's been taking
care of the funeral, yeah. Tashma, the Amr Kriva Abba Amr Yechanan, Afilo Holach Gadol HaBayis, the Beis HaKvaris, yes, even if the eldest member of the household went to the Beis HaKvaris, Moini Imahen, then he counts along with them. Which on the face of it, now as the Gemara is going to say soon, the other members, if they're not going to the funeral, they actually start. There's different possibilities when you begin Avelis. If you actually there at the Levaya, at the burial, then Shiva only begins when the burial is finished. She saw some agolol, when the golol, meaning the Rashi and Tosfos argue in a number of places, and shaks up the golol is exactly, but whatever it is, it's the covering of the grave. So if you're there by the funeral, then Shiva begins only by that. As the Gemara is going to say soon, if you're not even attending the funeral, then Shiva begins at an earlier time. Once you're not involved with it anymore. Once you're not involved with it anymore. So therefore, so when we say Moine Imahen, it sounds like it means, that's what it means, in other words. So let's say, for example, again, the person passed away on Wednesday, let's say. By the time they get to bury him, the cemetery is a couple of days away, let's say. By the time they get to bury him, it's Friday. If we're saying Moine Imahen, this Gadol HaBayis, means that he begins Shiva as of Wednesday. No, he didn't. He doesn't actually begin sitting Shiva till Friday, because that's when the burial takes place. But he can consider it counted for him from Wednesday, because that's when the rest of the members of the household, yeah.
Only if he's involved
with the burial, yeah. What do you mean, Moina Imahen? Batanya, but we learn another Brais, and Moina La'atzma, that he counts his own Shiva. And the answer is, Lo'kasha hada also begoit losa, v'hada lo'atzma begoit losa. One is where he came back within the first 3 days, where that's, we said before, that then he can continue counting with them. V'hada lo'atzma begoit losa, and the other one is if he did not come back within 3 days, then he counts on his own. Tosfos discusses would that work according to Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon had said before that even if you come on the last day, then still Moine Imahen, it still works, you're allowed to count retroactively. So is this disagreeing with Reb Shimon? Or maybe is there a difference that you could say that this one goes even according to Reb Shimon? Yeah, because again, like we said before, that Tosfos explains this whole business of Gadol HaBayis as being the question not what the Gadol HaBayis himself does, but whether the other brothers are allowed to follow him or whether they are allowed to follow the members of the household, or whether they have to do their own count, their own shiva. Ki ha d'amalahu Rav l'bnei Tzelfani. Like we find that Rav said to the people of Tzelfani. Rashi says the name of a place. I think other Mepharshim say it's the name of a family. We find that in Divrei Yomim there's a family called Hatzlopani. So maybe these people were descendants of theirs. I don't know. Anyway. So he told them, those who come to the Shiva house within the first 3 days can go ahead and count Shiva along with you. They get up when you get up. But if they don't come within 3 days, then they have to count their own.
They don't go.
Not if they don't go. If they don't come to the Shiva house within three days. That's what we said before. It doesn't matter whether he's in Makam Kardov or Makam Rachok or whatever. If they don't come within the first 3 days, then that's what we say in the Tanakhama said, that you have to count your own. Obviously, then Rav holds according to the Tanakhama, not according to Reb Shimon. Again, according to Tosfos, not necessarily. According to Tosfos, there are distinctions that you can make, yeah. Amalei Rava the Bnei Mechuzah.
And the halacha is how?
Well, the halacha we'll get to in a second. The halacha, in general, we say halacha could be around Mechuzah, but we're going to have that in the next piece of Gemara. But yeah. You guys who do not go and follow the coffin, because Rashi explains that many people in those days, including, I guess, the people of Mechuza, would send their mesim to Eretz Yisrael to be buried. Now, obviously, then the whole family doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael for the burial. So they're not going to be there when the grave is closed. So therefore, mikim hadrisu apaycho mibava davula, when you turn your faces away from the outer gate of the city, meaning you're turning around to go home, atchilu menu, you begin counting your shiva from then. Even though it's going to be days or weeks until the goyel is actually covered, and that's when the people who actually go along with it are going to start then. But you should start. You start from as of when you leave the funeral, and that's takad halacha. Then we said Rav Shimon Omar filu baba yemashvim makom karav marnimar, and then Rav Shimon had said that even if the avil comes on the last day of shiva, then he can still continue counting with the other people. This is only if he comes on the seventh day and he still finds Menachemim there. He still finds people there to be who are being Menachem Avol. In other words, the Avol has not actually gotten up from Shiva yet. If everybody has already gotten up from Shiva, then yeah, he's going to have to start his own. There's no question. What if they're shaking themselves to get up, like they're in the process of getting up, but they haven't fully gotten up yet?
They're almost finished.
Yeah, basically, like they're starting to get up. Yeah, Rashi says menanim v'roitzim lamim, like they're moving as in, like, you know, we're gonna get up and go, but they haven't actually gotten up yet. What would be the din? Take them. We don't know. And as usual, as
we don't know, we won't care.
Well, again, yeah, since halacha k'divrei Meikel Beevil, yeah. Gmiri chavre de Rab Abba Barchia mi Rab Abba. The friend of Rab Abba Barchia learned the following from Rab Abba. And who is this chavre? Umanu Rab Zera. Who was that? That would be Rab Zera. V'amrilo, others say it was the other way around. Chavre de Rab Zera mi Rab Zera. Others say it's the other way around, that the friend of Rab Zera learned the following din from Rab Zera. Umanu Rab Abba Breda of Chiva Abba. And that friend then would be Rab Abba, the son of Rab Chiva Abba. So either way, it's the same two Amaroyim involved. We just don't know which one is the one who said the memra and which is the one who heard it from him. But anyway, that Amar Rabbi Yechanan, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'treifus, v'halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'avol. That the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when it comes to a particular din in treifus, and the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to a particular din in avelus. He said those two things together. But Pashas, they learned them together in yeshiva.
Treifus, Jamaica, avelus.
No, both of them is a matter of kula. Both of them are kulas. Yeah. What is it? K'Rabbi Shimon b'avol hadamrinim. That was saying the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel when it comes to Avelus, is what we said. That he's saying the halacha is like him, that even if you only show up on the last day, as long as you got there before the Avelim got up, then you're done. Yeah, then you're good. Could Rav Shimon Gamliel be Terefis? What was he saying that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel in a matter of Terefis? The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah in Chulin. V'nei me'ayim shenikvu. If the intestines got a hole in them, which normally would make the animal treif, but v'leicha seitamton, but the moisture closes them up. Now we have in Hilchot Treifus, there is a concept like this: if an organ develops a hole, if an organ that would make the animal treif when it has a hole. So the animal becomes treif, even if afterwards the hole heals. Nevertheless, the animal remains treif.
When he's alive, the animal developing a hole,
yes,
is treif after he's treif.
Yeah. Well, so in other words, for example, let's say, you know, the lung, the intestines, the heart, any of a number of different internal organs that develop a hole. The din is the animal becomes treif. Yeah. Even if you shecht it, it's treif. You're not allowed to eat it. Because it wouldn't, the usual definition of a treifer is that the animal would not be able to survive for 12 months with this kind of defect. So even though it heals, we say that a krum sha'ala machmas maka, that a membrane that forms after a wound, doesn't count for anything.
A krum is a membrane,
yes. So it doesn't count for anything. It doesn't matter. The animal is still treifer.
Right.
The only way it works is if the hole came about in such a way that to begin with there was something plugging it up. So one example of it would be, let's say, you know, with the intestines, you have the coils of intestines in the stomach of the animal. If you have, let's say, that one coil is punctured into the next one, so it's not actually, there's no puncture out into the body cavity, then fine, the animal is kosher because you have the next layer of intestines protected. Okay, so, you know, it means the food will go through a little faster than it normally would. It won't extract all the nutrients. It can, but that doesn't make it safer. Another example of it is...
It's one membrane within the intestine is covering that partial hole.
Yeah, so let's say, yeah, in other words, you have, let's say, for example, here's two layers of the intestines are going round and round, so here's one coil of it, here's the next one. So if you have a hole between the two coils, then it'll be fine. Another examples of it, for example, that if you have some of the animal's stomachs are covered with fat, if some other parts of the animal are covered with fat, if you have a hole develops in an organ and kosher fat covers it, then it's fine because the kosher fat adheres to it very strongly. So there's a number of examples like that. But so here what we're talking about is you have this liquidy stuff, as the Gemara is going to define in a second, that coats the inside of the intestines. So we're saying it's cheder divrei b'shem min gamliel. Therefore, the puncture is not considered a real full-fledged puncture because this mucus like covers it up. So he's saying the halacha is like a shemen gamliel in there. My leicha. Yeah, my leicha. What kind of moisture are we talking about? Amar Rav Kahana, shirka de me'aya. It means the smooth, slimy stuff on the intestines. The nafik agab duchka, which comes out with pressure. When you press on the intestines, when you press on them with a knife, then you can separate this mucus layer off it. So this is what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying serves as a good sealant for the hole. They had, by the way, there was an issue about 20 years or so ago involving you may remember it, involving milk. There was a whole question about the kashrus of a lot of the milk supply because there's a very common thing that cows develop bloat, develop intestinal bloat, and they use a needle to puncture and to get out the excess gas. And there was a concern if the stomach is punctured. Yeah, they put in a needle essentially to vent the excess gas. Well, I think nowadays they have better methods of doing it. So I think that's what a lot of times they do that nowadays. They put a tube up the rear end. Yeah, but back then, about 20 years ago, that was the normal thing was to. So there was a whole question about it. Does that make the milk today? No, there was a lot of discussion about it, pro and con. I mean, on the one hand, we're saying that if the stomach is punctured, it's safe. On the other hand, there were arguments to be made on it. The hole is not directly to the outside. The needle is shaped like an S. So the hole is here and the other hole is here. They're not like in contact with each other. Different arguments like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
They don't do it anymore.
As far as I know, they don't do it anymore. But there was that discussion for a while. Yeah. So Amar Mandahu, somebody said, who is the Mandahu? Rashi says Adam Echad Mandahava. Somebody, we don't know his name, said Ezke Halavai that I should have this chus for Asif, that I should go up to Eretz Yisrael, the Egmer L'Shmaitim Rukuma Demare, that I should have the chance to learn this vert from the one who actually said it. We're reporting that the halacha is like a shimon gamliel in Trefus, and then the halacha is like a shimon in Avil. I'd like to be able to hear it from the original source. So Kisalik, he didn't believe it. He wanted to have the source to actually hear it from the source. And as the Gemara is going to go on to say, in fact, he had heard, it turned out that the report that he had received of it was not quite correct. So, Kisalik, sure enough, when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechelet of Abba, Breder of Chiba Abba, he met Rav Abba, the son of Rav Chiba Abba, Omalei, and he asked him, Omar Mar Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel B'Tzreifus, did you really say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel as far as the thing about the puncture in the intestines where the mucus is covering it up? Omalei, no, I'm not, ain't halacha Amri, no, I actually said the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel in that. You know what the Gemara mentions in a couple of places that Rabbi Yochanan said a general rule that wherever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says something in the Mishnah, the halacha is like him. And there are actually Mephoshim who say that applies to Braises as well. So therefore, that may have been why it got garbled on the way to Bagel, that say, instead of that halacha is not like for him, but that halacha is like him, because they figured to apply the general rule of Rabbi Yechanan. Anyway. Okay, he asked him, could have shimmed Abba'avamai, knew, what about the second half of what I heard in your name, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon as far as a matter of Avelus, that's what he said before about coming on the last day. He said, that you should know is actually a matter of machlokes among the Amoraim, who the halacha is like. The Ishmael, because they said, Rav Chista Amar halacha, Rav Chista said that yes, the halacha is like Rav Shimon, v'chein Amar Rav Yechanan halacha, but Rav Nachman Amar ein halacha. Rav Nachman, on the other hand, said the halacha is not like Rav Shimon. So among the Amoraim themselves, you have a machlokes whether the halacha is like the Tanakhama or like Rav Shimon.
Seems the majority was still like
Rav Shimon. No, you have Chista and Rav Yechanan, okay, two against one. It's not really, I don't know, you call it a majority.
Well,
okay. The ain halacha could Rav Shimon Gamliel with Treifus. So the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel when it comes to Treifus. So, because after all, Rav Chiba Abba said, no, I didn't say that. I said the halacha is not like him. The halacha, Rav Shimon Ba'avol. But in the end, the halacha is like Rav Shimon when it comes to Avelus. Not because you have Rav Chista and Rav Yechanan versus Rav Nachman, but because the general rule that we had already, Dama Shmuel, Kedivah Mekel Ba'avol. They always, when it comes to matters of Avelus, you always go according to the opinion that's Mekel. Rav Shimon Gamliel is the one who's Mekel here, therefore you go according to him. Finished. Mudinim. Here the Gemara is going to start off with a bunch of dinim. We already talked about a few dinim that are different between when a person is an oval for his parents versus for anybody else. We had yesterday about 30 days versus 12 months for Shelas Shalom. So here's a few other ones. Al kolam mesim kolam, mancha mitase hareza mishubach. For any other mesim that a person has to be an oval for, the faster he brings out the bed, mancha literally means like he pushes it, like he pushes that the levaya should take place as fast as possible. Hareza mishubach. Then this is a good thing. It's praiseworthy. But for his father or his mother, then it's reprehensible because he should be taking the time to give them the proper comfort, to be making a proper hesped for them, etc. However, Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, if it was Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, so you have to hurry anyway, or Hagoyt Abach adds, and this is also in Masechet Smachos, I'll show you Gshamim Mizalfin Amitase, or if it was raining, the coffin is getting rained on, then if you hurry up the burial, even with your parents, Harezim Mishulach. Shein Ha'otah, look right over Bima, because then you're doing it for their covered, that they should be buried properly before Shabbos or Yom Tov, or before the bed gets all soaked, or before the coffin gets all soaked with rain. Another din, Al Kolam Mesim Kolon, with all other Mesim, Rotsa Mamayit Be'isko, Rotsa Einu Mamayit, if a person wants, he can reduce his business deals. Rashi says, Kagon Tzchora, for example, buying and selling. Rotsa Einu Mamayit, but if he wants, he doesn't have to. But for his father and mother, he has no choice. He has to reduce his business. Now, what are we talking about? We said before already that a few times that an oval is also to do malacha. So what are we talking about over here? So that is why, so some of Poshim say that's why Rashi makes a point of saying schora. There's a difference between malacha and schora. Malacha, you're not allowed to do during Shiva. Schora, which is just buying and selling normally to keep your store open, is not a malacha. So you should be allowed to do it. So for your parents, you can, but for other people, you can. Other
you should diminish, or you
diminish meaning
diminish.
Yes,
decrease
it, yeah. But the other mafarshim take different views of it. One is that we're talking about dava avod, that even if it's a dava avod for parents, you still have to you still have to avoid it. Another one. When it comes to any other mess, if you want, you can be cholot, but you don't have to. What does cholitz mean? There's a few different explanations. Rashi here says that cholitz means sefer, his shoulder. Kriya we're going to talk about soon, but Mepharshim say that cholitz, according to Rashi, means once you do kriya, which as we're going to talk about soon, kriya involves ripping until the heart is exposed. What you do is then you stick your arm out through the rip in the garment so that your shoulder is exposed. That's called cholitz. It's showing an extra level of cover for the mess. That's one explanation. There's a couple of other explanations. One of them is that cholitz means taking off your shoes. Anyway, so for other mesim you can do that, but you don't have to. Al avav al imay cholitz, when it comes to your father or your mother, you have to. as a matter of comfort for them.
Right side.
We're going to talk about soon, actually, that the ikker of it is the left side, really, because the left, for one thing, one reason, because your heart is on the left. We're going to talk about soon the idea of doing kriya in a way that exposes the heart, so then to do kriya on the left and stick out your left arm so that your left shoulder is exposed is more... This is yet another one of the things of Avelos that we don't do nowadays. We've had a few of them already. We had Tfiyas Amita, we had a Tfiyas Rosh, this is another one. Why? One reason Mefarshim say is similar to the one that we had as far as Kfiyas Amita, because the Goyim are just going to make fun of us. It looks ridiculous to be walking around with a bare shoulder. A different reason Mefarshim give is because we anyway don't wear the same style of clothes they did in those days. You can't, practically speaking, when you rip your shirt, you can't really stick your arm out through the rip. However, it once happened with one great person in the generation, that his father passed away, so he wanted to do chalitza like he's supposed to. But another gadol ador who was along with him also wanted to do chalitza in sympathy, or as the Gemara is going to say soon, different reasons. And therefore, he, the aval, avoided it and didn't do chalitza. Because he didn't want that the other person who was with him, he didn't want that he should have to be mevaza himself to do chalitza like that. Now, who are these two people? Amar Abaya, Gadol Hadar Rebbe. The first Gadol Hadar, the one who was an Ovel, is Rebbe, after one of his parents passed away. Or actually, his father, we said Shemes Aviv, so his father, the Nasi, of Shem Gamliel, passed away. Gadol Hadar Sheima is Rebbe Yaakov Bacha. The other Gadol Hadar with him would be Rebbe Yaakov Bacha. So then, according to this version, in other words, the Ikad Amri, others say it's the other way around. Gadol Hadar Rebbe Acha, Gadol Hadar Sheima Rebbe. So it was the same two Tanoim either way. The question is which one was the Avol and which one was the friend who was gonna do the same thing. Okay, we can understand if the second Gadol Hadar is Rebbe and the first one is Rebbe Acha Ba'acha, so his father Rebbe Acha had passed away, okay, Hainu Dinim Nim Lechalas. Then okay, we can understand why Rebbe Yaakov Acha avoided doing Chalitza. Because Rebbe is not required to do the chalitza for Rebbe Acha, they're not related, and so he felt it's not right that Rebbe should be mevaza himself like that. So therefore, I'll avoid chalitza as well. This is what we just said, we don't do chalitza nowadays because it's too much bizayin. We see from this Gemara that yes, there are loopholes in that. Yeah.
Why would he find this?
Something
to do together with the other,
as a mark of respect, So if it was like that, if Rebbe Yaakov Ba'acha was the Ovel, then okay, we understand. But and that's why Rebbe Yaakov Ba'acha avoided doing Chalitza. Elo l'manda amar Rebbe Yaakov Ba'acha amay nimnu v'lay cholat. But if it was Rebbe Yaakov Ba'acha who was the friend, then why would Rebbe avoid doing Chalitza? Why? So that Rebbe Yaakov Ba'acha shouldn't have to. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Nasi have it. His father, Rav Shimon Gamliel, wasn't just any Talmud Chacham, he was a Nasi, v'kula amam machai v'lo mechlat, and everybody is required to do Chalitza. So then, yes, Rebbe should, so according to that version, Rebbe should have done Chalitza. If Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha wants to do Chalitza as well, fine, it's not just a question of wants to, he has to. He has to, everybody has to for the Nasi. The Pashtus, right after. Yeah. Yeah, well, there is a din. I think we're going to have it later in the parak that even if you change clothes during the 7 days, that you always have to be wearing a torn one. Yeah. Kasha. Okay, so according to that version, it's kasha. Next, another din, another difference between parents and everybody else. I'll call on Mesim Kulan, Mistapa Lacha Laman Yoim, for any other mess after 30 days of Avelus, you're allowed to cut your hair. But when it comes to Avelus for father or mother, that you have to wait until your hair is growing so long that your friends are yelling at you, go get a haircut. Not necessarily. It would be sometimes. So actually, Tosfos discusses actually, the Yerushalmi says it can be one or the other. Either that you grow your hair long, which would be defined as 30 days, or your friends are yelling at you. But Tosfos says that's a mistake. Tosfos says no. It has to be that both. You have had at least 30 days growth of hair, and it's so long that your friends are telling you look unkempt. The Rambam though passes the coin to that Yerushalmi. The Rambam says that as soon as the friends are telling you look unkempt, you can take a haircut.
Even before
30 days. Apparently, it sounds like even before 30 days. Tosfos also discusses the question: what about would you be allowed to take a haircut before Yom Tov or not? Yeah. Another one. Al kol ha-meisim kulam nichnas aves ha-simcha la'achal ha-minyayim. After any other mass, you can go to a simcha, to a party, after 30 days. Alav v'alemay la'achal yurbis chodesh. But for father and mother, you have to wait 12 months. Now, what kind of sudda are we talking about? Omer rav v'avachana ula simchas mereus. The kind of sudda that we're talking about is the kind where friends make simcha, where friends make parties for each other. We're not talking about, in other words, we're not talking about, for example, a wedding. Or we're not talking about a wedding or a bris or what have you, a simcha shal mitzvah. We're talking about, it was a very common thing in those days, that you'd have a group of friends where Reuven makes a party and invites everybody, and now Shimon is obligated to reciprocate, so he makes a party and invites everybody, and Levi, and so they go through the whole group like that. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about, a social gathering, basically. So that, you have to wait 12 months. What? We'll get to that soon. Mason, Gemara says, why? A bris says, ula simcha ula mereus lamed yom. For simcha and for friendship, you have to wait 30 days. So it sounds like there's two different things. It sounds like we're talking about a simcha, like a wedding, and we're talking about social, and we're talking about social things like this. Tasha. There's a different gear set that the Gemara wants to say. Maybe it means Simcha of Mereus, but there's another Braisa that explicitly says Simcha 30 days and Mereus 30 days. Okay, Kasha. Ameima Masni Hachi. Ameima, though, learned it like this. Amar Rav Avachana, ula Simchas Mereus Mutali Konis La'alter. No, for a social Simcha, you're allowed to come in right away. You're allowed to go right away. You don't even have to wait the 30 days. Why? Well, Tanya Simcha Shloshim L'Mereus Shloshim. We learned in a Braisa clearly that for a Simcha you have to wait 30 days, and for Mereus you have to wait 30 days. The answer is like Kasha, Hoba Arisusa, Hoba Poranusa. One is talking about the Arisusa, which means the beginning of the cycle. You're the first one in the group who's going to be making the party, which now is going to obligate everybody else to reciprocate. Then you should wait, then you should wait to make that until after 30 days. You're the one beginning the cycle, you shouldn't be beginning it during those 30 days. But if somebody else already began the cycle, and now it comes time, it's your turn to repay everybody by making the party, then fine, you can do that even within 30 days because you have to pay off your obligations.
Can't you ask them?
If they all agree to do it after 30 days, I guess then fine. But we find in the Gemara it seems that people took this concept of owing each other parties in those days a lot more seriously than they do nowadays. The Gemara has in Bava Basra the whole sugya about the concept of shushvinus, where and it's actually considered an obligation in halacha. It's actually considered a financial obligation, shushvinus. Sort of like along the lines of if Reuven makes a sheva brachos for Shimon, then Shimon is obligated to do the same thing for Reuven when he gets married. That kind of, it's actually a financial obligation. There's all kinds of dinim involved with that. Yeah. Whereas nowadays people just, you know, it's a nice thing to do. But people, you know, nobody holds it over the other guy's head, at least not explicitly. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what is the din as far as simchus? So the din as far as simchus, the Gemara is saying over here essentially is that simchus and social ones are essentially the same thing. So yes, an oval after a regular avelus 30 days and after parents 12 months does not attend a simcha, where at least not one where there's music. Or actually what they usually do is they attend the first little bit of the simcha and then they leave afterwards. Yeah. Another din, al kol ha-meisim kulan karei ha-tefach. For all other meisim, you rip your clothes to the length of a tefach. Al aviv al imay ashi gala esliba. But for father or mother, you have to do more. You have to rip enough that you uncover your heart. Amravabo, Maikra, where do we see a pasuk that indicates that? That indicates the fact that kriya has to be at least a tefach. The pasuk says, Vayachsek David b'vgoda vayikroim. It says that David, after he got the news that Shaul and Yonatan had been killed, etc., He held on to his clothes by yikroim and he tore them. So holding on has to be at least a tefach because you're holding it with your hand. The size of your hand is a tefach. So therefore we see that the rip has to be at least a tefach. Later on, I think in a couple of blocks, I think we're going to have the concept that if suppose for example a person's brother, let's say, passed away and he did kriya for him, and then later on, if one of his parents passed away, he has to do a whole new kriya for them. You can't just extend the existing one. As opposed to if it was the other way around, you can extend one that was already done for you can extend them that was the one that was done for a parent. So there is also the difference, right? That we're going to say student one is on one side, one is on the other. But that's not lactive. That's you should do it that way. But could be the same baguette. With all other mesim, even if you suppose you're wearing 10 layers of clothing, you only need to tear the top one. However, when it comes to father or mother, you have to tear all of them. But the afikar susay ain't ma'akeves. But the afikar susay is not ma'akev. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says that afikar susay means a scarf or a turban or whatever that you wear on your head. That's not ma'akev. In other words, you don't have to rip that one. You rip your clothes that are on your torso, on your body, but you don't have to rip your head covering, even if it extends down on your shoulders or whatever. Well, so it would be not just your jacket. You'd have to rip your jacket, your shirt. Yep. There's a couple of other mafarshim that discuss what afikosusei means. There's another explanation that the Aruch says, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that afikosusei means an undershirt. No, because the definition of afikosusei, according to that, is something that you wear just in order to absorb sweat. You don't wear tzitzis to absorb sweat. Yeah. But it means an undershirt, yeah. So then you wouldn't have to tear that because that you're not wearing as a real beggar. You're just wearing that to keep your other clothes from getting dirty with sweat.
Yeah, that was for his parents. He doesn't rip his.
Even for parents, you don't have to rip after kosusa, yeah. This is we see nowadays. Nobody rips the undershirt for.
So you're saying in this case, if he's wearing 10, everybody can rip all of his parents.
Yeah, but for everybody else, only the one, yeah.
And that's after kosusa for his parents. Not going to rip the other 10 and not this one?
Not this one, right. That's what we're saying. Eidim Akevis, that it's not ma'akev, meaning you don't have to rip it. And then I think there are some Mephoshim who say that what it means is, according to Rashi, that if a krosuse means a turban, like where the ends of it hang on your shoulders, even if it happens that the ends of it cover the rip in your clothes, then that's okay. It's Eidim Akevis. So you did the rip, that's okay, even if afterwards it's covered by the ends of your... Yeah. Echad ish ve'echad isha. This same rule about kriya applies to both men and women. Rav Shimon also says, no, ha'isha keras satachton. What a woman should do is she should first rip her undergarment, umachzirati lachareha, then turn it around. In those days, they wore clothes that could easily be the more togas or whatever, so they could easily be turned around. It wasn't like our clothes that have sleeves. For tznius, v'chazeres v'karnas z'ayin, and then she rips the upper garment. You don't want that her that at any time that her heart should be uncovered. It wouldn't be tznius. Yeah. Nowadays we don't have clothes that can be turned around really. But I think I think there's the same concept then that women don't rip all their clothes. They don't rip. They rip their jacket or whatever, like their outer garment, but not their regular shirt.
How does it avoid her being exposed? First the toxin, then the
alien. So you rip the toxin, then you turn it around so the rip is in the back.
The toxin meaning. What, the bottom of her dress?
No. Taxon would mean the undergarment, the deeper layer. Yeah.
Right.
So again, according to the Aruch, that afikorsuse means an undershirt. You never have to tear an undershirt anyway. But then the idea would be you don't want her undershirt to be exposed. That wouldn't be sneezing either. So then it would mean the next layer. So she's wearing, let's say, an undershirt, a shirt, and a jacket. So it would mean she rips the shirt, turns it around, so there's nothing exposed, and then tears the jacket.
That it doesn't
expose it, it's outside. Right, that's what we're saying, yeah. Another din, our kol ha-mesim kula on rotza mavdil kame safa shaloi rotza ene mavdil. With all the other mesim, if you want, you can divide the kame safa. Kame means before, so it means before, what's before the hem. Rotza ene mavdil, but if you don't want to, you don't have to. So what does that mean? Rashi over here has a different explanation than Rashi on the Rif, which is all the Rashi Ksaviyad also. Rashi over here says it means like this. A regular garment has a hem, not a hem, a collar, really. A regular shirt has a collar. So With other Mesim, your choices are you can either rip underneath the collar, you leave the collar itself intact and you rip a hole underneath it, or you rip the actual collar. Even though if you rip the actual collar, it doesn't necessarily look like a rip, it just looks like you're making a wider collar, nevertheless it would be okay, as opposed to father and mother.
You said the area of the heart, this is the
collar. No, we're talking about other Mesim. We're talking about other Mesim, where you only have to do a tefach. You have the option, if you want, Rashi is saying, of only ripping the collar and leaving the body of the garment intact, provided, I guess, that the rest of the collar was a tefach, that actual collar was a tefach. Rashi on the Rif explains it the other way around, that what it's saying is with other Mesim, you don't have to rip the collar, you could just rip the actual body of the garment, but with father and mother, you have to rip the collar.
And
the area of the heart, yeah.
Is that
that's what we're saying. I'll call a mason colon for all other, except that I'll aviv al imay mavdil. But for father and mother, you have to actually divide the garment. Which again, according to Rashi over here, means that you have to rip not only the collar but also the body of the garment itself. And Rashi on the Rif, it's the other way around. Not only you have to rip the body of the garment, but you also have to rip the collar. Rabbi Yehuda, no. There's no difference between father and mother versus other Mesim in this regard. Kol kriya she'enem avdo kameh safa shloi. Any kriya where you do not divide the kameh safa, ain't ela keder shal tiflus. And it's just a silly kind of a rip. It's not, you're not actually accomplishing the mitzvah of kriya. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rashi over here, it would mean that you always have to rip the body of the garment. You don't have to rip the collar for other Mesim, only for a parent. And according to Rashi on the Rif, it would mean you always have to tear the collar.
And enough of it to be
a tefach, enough to uncover the heart, yeah. I'm talking about my time with Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, but how we explain it exactly, I believe the explanation that's brought in Shulchan Aruch is according to Rashi on the Rif, that it means for other Mesim you have to divide the collar, you have to tear the collar, but you don't have to do below it, as long as you have a tefach there, and for father and mother you have to do both. I guess this is one of the exceptions. Normally we say halacha to divrei Meikel be'evil, but here we're not saying that. I think Tosfos points out in a couple of places that there's a difference between the mitzvah of abelus and the mitzvah of kriya. Kriya is a thing unto itself, kind of. When we say halacha to divrei Meikel be'evil, that's as far as the dinim of sitting shiva and then so forth. Here we're talking about kriya, which is a whole other thing, so not necessarily does the same rule apply. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? Where did he get this idea that you actually have to rip in a way that is noticeable, that's ripped into? Elisha, it says, after Eliyahu was taken up and into Shemayim alive, so Elisha, he grabbed a hold of his garments, and he ripped them into two parts. So we have to say, obviously, if you rip them, that means it's two parts. So what does the pasuk need to say? The shnayim kroim. El shenun kroim kshnayim. It means you have to rip it in a way where it's clearly visible that it's in two parts.
It's
maybe considered like his father in that regard. Yeah, we're going to have that in a few days. Another din.
So that goes like Rabbi Yehuda.
That would be like that's where Rabbi Yehuda. That's what he's saying. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. That's where Rabbi Yehuda gets his idea that you actually have to do it in a way that's noticeable, that's ripped in two parts. Yeah. This is about Avelos and Kriya being separate. Tosfos says it at the bottom over here. Come on, I'm in an Avelos Lachod or Kriya Lachod, yeah. Next, I'll call a Mesim colon Shola La'acha Shivo Ma'acha La'acha Shoshim. For any other Mesim, the rip in the garment, after 7 days you're allowed to Shola, which actually says to baste it, like you sew it with like wide stitches. And after 30 days, Ma'acha, you're allowed to sew it up properly. To sew it up fully.
Take off the shlila or put it on top of it?
You could take off the shlila, Bepashtas. Actually, the Gemara is going to define, and the Gemara is going to define in a few days that ma'ache, as far as these halachas, doesn't necessarily mean sewing it up like we do nowadays, but rather the Gemara talks about something called Ichui Alexandri, where they knew how to stitch, where they knew how to do up a rip in a garment in a way that it looked like it had never been ripped.
After 7 days, can it be Masi Uman?
No, that's what we're saying. After 7 days, you can only do sholol. You can baste it, so that you don't have to walk around after 7 days with a ripped garment.
Right.
So you sort of baste it so that, you know, so you do like wide stitches, so at least it kind of holds its clothes.
Right.
After 30 days, you can do a proper stitch. However, al ovev al ima sholol achalam aveinim achalolim. For father or mother, you can only do sholol after 30 days. You can only baste it after 30 days. And you can never be ma'acha. You can never completely re-sew it back up.
Sholol, what if you just want to change your baking completely? You don't
want
to wear that anymore.
Is there a
need for that?
No, you don't have to.
No, you don't have to. If you're
going
to...
You throw it out,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, for example, you know, after Gimel Tammuz, I mean, all of us did Kriya after the Levaya, afterwards, what are you going to do with a torn jacket? You can't really sew it back up. I threw mine away, yeah. But a woman can right away, even during the shiva, can baste the whip because of her covered. She doesn't have to walk around with torn clothes, or especially according to the possibility we said before. Okay, even she, you know, her undergarment's not torn or whatever, but still, it's not the covered dick for her to walk around with lower layers of her clothing exposed. So therefore, she can baste it right away.
After what, 7 days?
I think this la'alter means even during the 7 days.
Another din.
Ki also Ravin Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, here's another din, another difference between parents and everybody else. Our kolam meisim, rotza kareya b'yad, rotza kareya b'kli. With all of the meisim, if you want, you can do the kriya by hand, or if you want, you can do it with a utensil. You take a knife and slash the clothing. But for father and mother, you have to do it by hand. Nowadays, actually, so Rashi says that the point of it is a kula, that by doing it with a knife or scissors or whatever, that way you're not ruining the garment as much. That way, like, you make a nice neat tear, and then afterwards it's more possible to sew it up, as opposed to if you rip it by hand, then it's going to be a jagged tear. So yeah. Nowadays, actually, what they usually do is the Chevra Kaddisha takes a knife and starts the kriya, and then the person finishes it off themselves. Just because, as a practical matter, it's hard to start with by yourself. Yeah. Here's another one. Al kol ha-meisim kolam b'bifnim. For all of the meisim, the kriya is done from the inside. But for father and mother, it's done on the outside. Now, what does that mean? Rashi over here says that it means that mibifnim and bachutz means, mibifnim means you do the kriya under your jacket. You know, it's like you reach in and do it, and it's, you know, so it's not obviously visible to everybody. Whereas father and mother, you actually have to do it in a visible way that everybody can see. You uncover the shirt, let's say, and rip it. Rashi on the Rif has a different explanation. Then over here it seems like it's different manuscripts of Rashi or whatever that they used in the Gemara here and in the Rif that says that mibifnim and machutz means that you're doing it indoors, away from everybody else, versus outdoors in public in front of everybody.
Those days they had one bag and now we have a shirt and a jacket.
So we said before that for parents you have to do all of the garments, so you'd have to do the jacket and the shirt.
Oh, I think 10 garments, right?
Yeah, as we said, 10 garments, yeah. I think that's what they do nowadays, isn't it? Maybe they just do the jacket.
They do,
I think on the contrary, they do the jacket.
Sure, they do.
I don't know.
For parents, yeah, they do.
Well, the other thing is also, when we talked before about Afkirusai, I forgot to mention, actually, there are other Mepharshim who say that Afkirusai is actually the opposite of what the Aruch said, not an undershirt, but a jacket. Now that you don't have to tear Kriya. So therefore, you have three different opinions, what it is you don't have to tear, a turban, an undershirt, or a jacket. So maybe people are basing themselves on that, I don't know. Again, by Gimel Tammuz, as I recall, everybody tore their jackets. I actually don't remember anybody tearing their shirts, but I don't know.
Don't tear your hat.
No, but that according to Rashi, that's after Kisrusa, yeah.
Yeah, they
do tear the jacket. I think they also tear the shirt. I've seen people with torn shirts in shiva houses, yeah. Amr of Chista, Bechem Lanasi. this din that was saying as far as ripping on the outside, according to these two different explanations of what that means, applies not only to parents, it also applies to a nasi. That's basically, I have a contradiction. A Braita says, the Gemara, later on when the Braita talks about, we're going to have the details of the Braita in a few days about basting versus sewing, etc. It says, They, meaning a person's Rebbe or the Abbeister or the Nasi, are not compared to father and mother, only as far as permanently restitching it. So it sounds like, in other words, when it comes to a Nasi and Abbeister, etc., you don't have to tear on the outside. The only similarity between them and parents is that you can never sew it back up. You can never permanently sew it back up. My lab atfil lo Nasi. So presumably that means even the Nasi. And the answer is lo levami Nasi. No, it means aside from the Nasi. In other words, the Mishnah mentions there, but they're not the Mishnah. The Braisa mentions there a bunch of people that a person has to tear kriya for. His Rebbe, the Abbeistin, the Nasi, a Sefer Torah that was burnt, etc. So all those cases are unlike your parents, except that you're never allowed to permanently sew it back up, except for a Nasi who is exactly like your parents. Meaning whatever you have to do with Kriya for parents, you have to do for a Nasi as well, including doing it on the outside or in public or whatever.
So for the record, that would be the Nasi and yep. It would be outside and inside.
The Bashtas, yeah. So the Gemara tells a story, Nasiya Shriv, one time the Nasi passed away. Some Mephoshim say that Nasi over here means actually the Resh Galusa in Bavel, who had the status of a Nasi for some purposes in Halacha. Doris Shonin wants to say that it was actually the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. He's not named. If it was the Resh Galusa, then he's not named because actually a lot of the Resh Galusa in those days weren't such good people. So apparently the Gemara didn't feel it important to mention his name. If it was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, also in those times the Nasiim had deteriorated. They weren't really on the same level they were before. Anyway, Amar Rav Chista the Rav Chanan bar Rava. The Rabbi Rava, sort of Chista tells Rav Chanan bar Rava, Kafi Asisa, turn over a mortar, so like, you can use it as a stool to stand up in front of everybody. The Kumala, stand up on it so everybody can see you. The Achve Kriya La'alma, and show everybody that you're doing Kriya. You should be doing Kriya in public. Because we just said, the Nasi, you have to do it in public, just like for a father and mother, so you should be doing that.
The Asisa is what?
Asisa means a mortar. Like they used to use in those days for grinding spices and whatnot. They sometimes had very large. It's like a big one. Yeah, like you
so
overturn
you climb
it.
On it
yeah, it would be like the equivalent of nowadays turning over a garbage can and standing on it or something. Yeah. One more. Av based in Shemes. Sorry. Yeah. Nice. That'll be. A chacham cholet miyamin. When a chacham passes away, and what does a chacham mean? Rashi says over here it means the one who's in. It means basically the city rav. It means the one who people come to pass kenshilus. So for him, chalitza miyamin. You do chalitza, as we said before, about chalitza that you uncover your shoulder on the right side. Al avestin mismael. For the avestin, you do it on the left side, which considered more prestigious. One reason again is because the heart is on the left side. Since we said the father and mother, you have to uncover your heart. In Shulchan Aruch it mentions that actually for that reason, for other Mesim generally you do it on the right side, and for father and mother you do it on the left side. Yeah. So here instead,
we keep that.
We do, although it's not ma'akiv though. I think it says in Shulchan Aruch that if by mistake you did for father and mother on the left side, on the right side. I mean, you don't have to do it over again. So for a chacham, you uncover the right shoulder. Al av beistin mismo, for the av beistin is more important, so you uncover the left shoulder. Al nasi mikan or mikan. And for a nasi, who is the highest level, you uncover both shoulders as a mark of respect for him. Nasi is kind of, first of all, this is talking about during during and after the time of the second Beit Hamikdash. They didn't have malachim, but second of all, also, even in Tanakh, we find that the word nasi is sometimes used to mean a king. And you have, for example, when the Torah talks about in Parashas Vayikra that Hashem Nasi Yechta, that the Nasi brings a male goat if as a chatas instead of a female that everybody else did. What is a Nasi? But that means a king. Shein ol v'la Hashem v'lekav. The Nasi can mean over here a king as well.
Who's giving this last opinion?
It's quoting it anonymously. Right. So Pashas, it's a Pashas quoting from a Braita. Shmur Chayka is after 30 days, we said. We said then you just did one day and then mix the same kakoloi, so practically speaking, it's only a short time. You do Kriya, I think, but you do Kriya, but again, you know, after that hour or whatever, after those few minutes.